7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy. I'm Nicole Tomasini, and I will be your host. And I'm joined today by the wonderful Gwendolyn Holden Barry, who also does the consciousness shift with me on Thursdays, and is the spearheader of Here Be Monsters, quite a woman. And she's going to discuss stress relief with us. That's our topic today. So hi, Gwen. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for such a nice introduction.
Sure. It's the truth. I always tell the truth.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, tell me about it. Not everybody can handle the truth. Gwen and I have had many a conversation about, you know, the stresses and helping to relieve each other's and insights that we've found. So, and that's such a great thing when you can have just one person that you can talk to about whatever. Just let it all hang out, and somebody that'll point you in the right direction, which is back to your own happiness. So let's talk about stress. And what is stress? Why do we feel stress? Well, it's because we're going in, we feel like we're going or are in some sort of direction that we would rather not, that we don't want to be in. So it creates a chasm between where we want to be and where we feel like we are. And sometimes we don't realize how far down a certain road we may be going with our thoughts or our belief systems. So then our body and our emotions start to tell us what's wrong, what's something not quite right in Eden here. And I also want to mention that anyone that wants to call in, we're going to just continue to talk. So please call in with any kind of a question or comment that you would like to make. And we will totally ride that one for a little while. So yeah, that feeling of being somewhere where we don't want to be, and or that things aren't moving fast enough, things aren't coming fast enough. I'm doing all my work, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and yet I'm not seeing it. So I'm getting frustrated, and I'm getting impatient with myself, people around me, the universe, whatever. So, and it seems like in the last couple weeks, I mean, you know, this whole year has definitely been a challenge, both very exciting and difficult for everyone, I'm sure. But it seems like in this past couple days, a lot of the things that we've been waiting for, there was this big water shrine going on in July, and now into August and into Leo, there's a lot of rawr, let's go, rawr. So then these stresses also can come when maybe things are coming too fast or there's just too many things on the plate. And I'll say it again. If you put everything in one basket, the basket gets too heavy. And that's where we can just feel this general feeling of stress, of it's just too much, because this is happening in my job, and this is happening with my finances, and this is happening with my body, and so on and so forth. And then it just becomes this big thing. And so how do we work ourselves out of it? Well, one thing, the most important, I think, is to, A, acknowledge that you're stressing, you're stressed out, and that's what's happening. And so say, okay, here we are, I'm stressed out. And take a few breaths. That's it. Just take a few breaths and acknowledge the fact that you're feeling this. And when you do that, a part of you knows that it's being listened to and will be quiet for a few seconds, for a few moments, because that's where the stress is telling us to acknowledge me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then finally we say, okay, I acknowledge that you're there. It will take a breath. It will probably start up again, but it does take a breath. Have you noticed that, Glenn? Do you ever do that?
Rarely.
Okay.
I don't acknowledge. That's a good thought for me. What I do is, it's a modern world. And in this modern world, we have various, it's like 200 years ago, we planted gardens during seasons to keep ourselves from starving. We chopped wood and we carried water. And the simple life, when you say you have to acknowledge and sit down and acknowledge it, what I think of is the moment that we have to get back to peace, to be still. And I had a great friend who taught me. She gave me a book called Chop Wood and Carry Water. And it's a Zen, a Confucianism, and really basically what it's saying is to just put one foot ahead of the other and do the simple things you must do to keep moving in your life in that moment, in that time, when stress becomes so overwhelming. There are a whole lot of tricks, if you will, a whole lot of little remedies for overwhelming stress. There's just so much panic in this world. And indeed, we were indoctrinated with panic. You know, I remember as a child that I used to have to do drills in school, in grade school, where we'd get under our desk in case of a nuclear attack. I mean, was that ridiculous?
Wow.
I mean, that's what it was. And on Boiling Frogs, a really Sybil Edmonds site today, she put up a video of children, school children today. This was done this week, where the Department of Homeland Security came in and took, you know, school kids who were in what we used to call junior high, and they put them through a drill. They indoctrinated them, really, with fear, and it's all in the name of, you know, terrorism. Okay, if your bus gets hijacked, this is what's going to happen. So they put them through the experience. I don't agree with that kind of behavior. I think that it just instills and indoctrinates fear into society and keeps us at the edge of, oh, I've got to do this, oh, I've got to do that in order to survive. And that's where and from the spiritual point of view, this is spirit therapy, from the spiritual point of view, to indoctrinate and to put people in, and children especially, into that sleeve, into that kind of a thought pattern of, you know, I must fear, is totally wrong, and it's totally adverse to basically what I think is the way to evolve from this point on, and I know it's yours. And the only way to get by it is to come to that quiet moment, meditation, chop wood, carry water. And there's a mantra I learned that was up on Denise LaFay's transition site. I think she put it up yesterday, from another group of people, the Rainbow Phoenix crowd, part of the Ascension community. And it's really a good mantra. And basically, I will quote if you want me to share it. It's a pretty good little. I'm going to quote what they had there, and I'm taking contextually. So this is going to come, you know, into the paragraph. That this awareness is prepared at this time to present a mantra for the many, a mantra of great significance and worth that will build upon a mantra given previously by this awareness. It is the I am mantra with a slight addition. That this awareness states that it would be helpful for those who are expanding their consciousness to create around themselves and within themselves a new level of energy for their task of expanding their consciousness. And this is the mantra. So I'm going to quote this mantra right now. I am that I am that I am. I am the I am that I am. I am the I am that I am. And that is an I am 9 times. So there's a numerical significance there. And the mantra is expressed 3 times. You can do it loudly or silently. But the resonant vibration of this mantra, and let me correctly state it, I am the I am that I am. If you can state that 3 times, you know, that's a resonant call of chop wood, carry water. Let's slow down, let's sit down, and let's be here in the now. And once we are, you know, that fear, because stress is about fear. It's I'm afraid I'm not going to make my bus. I'm afraid I'm not going to make my appointment. I'm afraid I'm not going to meet the right man. I'm afraid I'm not going to meet the right woman. I'm afraid I can't pay my bills. It's endless. It's an endless loop of fear, and that's where the stress comes from.
Right. It's amazing synchronicity, because the song that I'll play at the end of the show, and I played it last week too, is Peter Tosh's I Am That I Am. The synchronicities are just amazing. Because, and I love that song because him just singing that I am, I am, I am, I am. He also has the repeated. And I think it talks to your mind, your body, and your spirit. It gets all 3 going, and 3 times that power number.
It's all going. Yeah, that's a good correlation. That works really well. And it's quite true, I think. Yeah. You know, last century, there was a shaman who disguised himself as a politician. And he said what I think were the most important words of the last century. And perhaps for the last couple of thousand years, he said that the only thing we had to fear was fear itself.
Yes.
And I think that all of the great metaphysical and New Age and spiritual doctrine or new methodology or insights and awareness, especially at this time right now, are built around that exact understanding and awareness. Because in the moment, we are not afraid. You know, if we're completely in the moment, and I mean, even when there is trauma going on, if we are in the moment, how do you think people who, those wonderful people who stand up in the middle of trauma hitting and crisis, and get down to it. They focus on what needs to be done. They don't freak, and they get it done. You know, they start to chop wood and carry water.
Yeah, we all know what that feels like. We've had those times where we know, especially in crisis, if somebody's had an accident, you've had an accident. And if you can find that sense of calm, it's like everything just goes away and you are just going to do what needs to be done. I'm sure everybody at some point in their life has had that feeling and has known what that is. And that is it's fully acknowledging who you are, what you are in this moment, without even necessarily having those words. But you just are. I am. I am. I am. And this is what needs to be done. And that's all I can see. And that's why I've given a lot of thought to that, that there's nothing to fear but fear itself. My mother used to say that to me all the time when I was a kid, and I would meditate on it. Well, what does that really mean? Nothing to fear but fear itself. So fear itself. So, but fear is all around us, and like you said, it's definitely been indoctrinated into us for many generations as humans. So it's all around us, and that's what this world of limitation right now is all about. But the only thing to really that feeling of fear within you, really, that's the first thing that needs to be acknowledged. Just like I'm feeling stress, I'm feeling fear. Why am I feeling fear? And then you turn around and you look at the fear. And if you can truly look at the fear, it's never as big as you think it is. It's that concept of fear, that raw, the darkness, and really,
when FDR said that there was nothing to fear but fear itself, I think what he was saying was that fear resides within us. Outside of us, we can see the truth. You know, we can, basically, it's our choice to be afraid. You know, it's not, nobody can make you. And this is the basic concept of free will. Somebody today wrote, you know, how much free will will we have if they completely, you know, take all of our communication and all of our blah, blah, blah. Basically, I mean, and this is very Zen, this is very Eastern, but however, it's very true. And the Hellenistic mysticisms and the old mystery schools and the ancient civilizations, our ancestors really understood that our free will is our greatest tool in existence. Mm-hmm. And it's not the existence of just this corporeal life. It's throughout every existence we are in right now. And free will is the choice. You can choose to be afraid or not, even with a knife at your throat. Even with a knife at your throat or a boot heel on your neck. You can choose not to be afraid. That's the hero's journey. That is the hero's journey. It's saying, I am not afraid.
Mm-hmm. And I think that starts with, especially to fortify that, it starts with the acknowledgement and learning to deal with these feelings that we have of stress or fear. And you're right, they're so interlinked. And so you can, sometimes you're stressed and you realize that you're fearful, and sometimes you're fearful and you realize that it's making you stressed, you know.
And this is why so many people are taking drugs. This is why so many, I mean, out of context. Let me be clear on that, too. I mean, I imbibe, I enjoy, or I use it as a tool for journeying. I will smoke marijuana or, you know, I will dive into other, I work with plants, that's my thing. And I create the vibrational remedies, or the flower essences and the vibrational essences, the homeopathic applications. And that's one of our great tools right now. Flower essences are so much more vibrant right now because the energy is there for awareness of them. And connecting with the very plants and the Earth Mother and grounding right now, rescue remedies should be on the shelf, and Xanax should be in, you know, in the furnace. You know?
Right.
I mean, I enjoy Xanax now and then, I have to say. It does not diminish the fact that we don't really require pharmaceuticals to engineer our behavior. You know, that's another indoctrination of fear, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about the different oils and essences that you can work with. I think we'll get to that in a minute. But going back to the acknowledgement, I think that it's important to understand that that's where we start, and then breathe, and then sit in that for a minute. And then the first thing that comes to mind that starts to talk again, and you can say, okay, so what's the problem right now? And this kind of conversation with yourself, you can have it out loud. I really like having it out loud to hear the words. It's like double process. Or
yeah.
You can have it in your head and say to yourself, what is it? What's wrong? And see what speaks first. And a lot of times it's that that child's voice that says, well, I don't know, or it's just too much, or, you know, it gets the emotion out first. And listen to it. Let it say all the things that it has to say, because a lot of times that stress, we're so annoyed when we're stressed. But again, it's a part of us that's trying to help us. It's trying to do its job and tell you what's going on. So when you say, okay, go ahead, talk, then you can start to see all the parts. Listen to your own words and see what's coming up. And then then have it go more and more specific. And if you're having trouble to go specific, just choose one thing. Say, okay, well, is it this? You know what's stressing you. Is it this? And then you can go around the circle of the things that are possibly not right, quote unquote, in your life, and you see which one really gets that emotional reaction from you. That really, when you say, well, is it this? Well, kind of. Is it that? Oh. Then you go, okay, so maybe it's mostly that. Why don't we talk about this? Tell me about what's bothering you with this. It's really being your own therapist. But it's also being your own caretaker, it's being your own mother, your own father, and also acknowledging the child and the inner self and allowing it to have a voice. Because then you can really start, and also it's full therapy here, because you're also learning to listen to yourself, and that voice will start to trust you, and you won't go so far down the road later on with the stress. You can catch it a little quicker. When the voice can go, excuse me, and you say, turn around, and you go, yes, you know, maybe it says it a few times, but you start to establish that rapport with that part of yourself. And then things start to go into their own baskets again. And then you can see, okay, yeah, well, maybe these things aren't perfect, but it's really this thing here that's pushing on all these other buttons and making all these other things way worse. You know, be it physical, I mean, like, our bodies are such mirrors for what's going on inside of us, and it also is trying to tell us something with any kind of pains that we have. And I know you know of this wonderful book by Louise Hay, Heal Your Body. It's a very small book. You can get it anywhere, and it's just a list of things that possibly are in your body. And she gives you, for example, if you're having leg problems, she says it carries us forward in life. There's something about moving forward that you're having trouble with. And then the affirmation is, life is for me. And that's a really simple one, but they're all very, very short. And
yes. It's a great book, and the affirmations are really wonderful.
Yeah. And sometimes you wouldn't necessarily think it is what it is. Like, I took the book out today for the show, and it just opened up to Lou Gehrig's disease. I was like, interesting. What is it on that? And it says, this can't deal with the success, feeling like you have more, maybe I should find it, but That was interesting. Unwillingness to accept self-worth, denial of success, and then the affirmation is, I know I am worthwhile. It is safe for me to succeed. Life loves me. And I thought that was very interesting. Like, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, we don't have to go so far as to have Lou Gehrig's disease, but just as like an archetype in a way, I think a lot of us are looking for how far can I go? What is my success level? And is something else going to go wrong because this is going well? Or can I really do this? Or, you know, those same kinds of questions. So, anyway.
No, I think that's one of the best tools you can work with is the Heal Your Body book.
Mhm. Mhm. And to acknowledge so we can go into the body, the stress, and the body's feeling stressed out, you can see what the metaphysical reason is and work it into your understanding of maybe it is trying to tell you something. I mean, I've had knee issues since I was a little girl, and knees are all about being flexible and about the pride and ego, which is interesting. Like, I don't think of myself as a prideful person, but then I can see now that I've been thinking about it for a few years since I got this book, you know, maybe there is something in my development of, you know, it's not like a big prideful personality, but it's something that I might jab myself with, you know, when I'm kind of sticking at myself, you know.
I have the same affliction.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we may think of ourselves, well, I'm not like that. Well, you may not be, but some part of you, you know, most of us have some sort of Nazi or slave driver or something in us that goes, you can't do this, rah, 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 you know, Mr. fear soldier.
Yeah, that's the inner shield work. We have the inner child and the inner nurturer and the inner healer and the inner warrior. And for every one of those aspects, we have, you know, the inner evil one. we'll go after the warrior and bring them down, the destroyer. We have with the inner child, we have that inner nasty person who just would love to scare the shit out of the child. And the inner healer is the inner destroyer. That's where our addictions and all of the nasty things we do to ourselves without realizing that we're really, you know, that over time become something that destroys us. So that's inner shield work. And there are those aspects, but for everything that I always remember, for every trait that I may have of, you know, destruction or self-ridicule or self-sabotage, I also have all of these wonderful healing, warrior, inner child, loving, angelic traits and talents too, to balance those out and to go on further to experience and choose which side of the room I'm going to stand on. Do you know what I'm saying?
There you go. Absolutely. Which takes me to step number two or three, whatever we're on. Exactly that. It's saying, okay, well, this and that I say is terrible and I say is wrong or shouldn't be or is annoying me or whatever. And then you can say, okay, well, but how could this maybe actually be working out for me? Or what if this were a lesson, what would the lesson be that it's trying to teach me here? Because this has happened a few times. And what has my response been to it all the other times? What ways worked better or worked worse? What was the result? What did I manifest after that? And then you can see you know, a lot of times something is coming up or stressing us out. Sometimes it's an old stress. We can't even believe that we're thinking about it, but it just keeps broken recording, you know. It's because you've gotten to a place with certain things that you've fixed, and now old broken records are going, yeah, well, I'm playing too, so if you wouldn't mind, you could shut me off too while you're at it, because you're already doing really well with these other things, you know. So when you get those little old things coming up, you say, okay, you look at all of the data that you have with it, and then say, all right, well, what would be the best case scenario with this thing? What would make this feel not only fine, but great? Like, what's the feeling of good that I'm looking for? And then how can I get to myself there? What would I have to feel in order to be okay with this? And a lot of times what helps me is looking at myself outside of myself and saying, okay, if I was watching this woman's story and I see all the things she's done and all the lessons that clearly she seems to be learning because I've been watching her very closely because I live with her, right? What could this battle be about here so that she can then, you know, go on to the wisdom? And I see, like, walking out of the cave of the forest in the white robe, right? Cleansed of that, basically, wise on that matter. So did you want to add any?
I'm terrible. I'm really pretty awful at stepping outside of myself. I do it though at night in dream time, and I rely on that a great deal because when I do it from a fully awake consciousness, I'm too critical. I'm way too critical. I'm not a reliable reflection for myself. I'm not a reliable mirror. So I do count on friends and colleagues, as they say, but I count on the people that I work with and share so much with to be my critics when I need them. And to be honest with me and open with me. I think for pretty much I have that. I'm very blessed with that. So for me, it's probably something I need to work on. I've never been really wonderful at it.
Something that might help is also if you look at it farther from yourself, if you think of it as actually just happening to somebody else, this story, because a lot of times we can see what's happening with someone else much easier than we can see with ourselves because we're in our own head, you know, we're backstage too. So,
yeah.
So to watch the play as someone else's sometimes can give you a great perspective. You know, I think we all do that. I do that all the time with my friends. You know, I say, okay, well, you know, it's just this, just that. And it works. I mean, it's true. And they acknowledge it immediately. And so to learn to do that with yourself, that definitely takes some practice because, you know, if that one voice is just constantly butting its head in, you know, it's like, Mr., you know, Rotten Tomato at the play. You know,
that's true.
We got to go somewhere where that guy just doesn't exist or isn't necessary because we don't care. You're like, I'm not standing on the play. I'm just making up a story, you know, and I go, oh, nobody's paying attention, you know, and well, he won't talk.
It took me a long time to really come to the conclusion that when I was being judgmental or critical of others, which we all do, you know, but to really get wrapped up in it, which a lot of folks these days are doing. I'm only basically pointing it the finger back, three fingers back at myself. There's something in my judgment of someone else or even a situation that is a nucleus or something, you know, the seed of or something fully sprouted within me that I need to look at. Mm-hmm. That I do recognize and understand as a tool of wake up. What are you doing here? What's this really mm-hmm. about?
Mm-hmm.
So
perhaps
that's my way of being outside myself. When I begin to judge others or to, you know, ridicule or, and we all do it. It's a natural thing. It's part of our discernment. It's skill set. So we do that. And I think that basically when I am doing that, I am being, oh Lord, how you say it? I'm really being just the judge of me, you know?
Mhm. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're realizing that you're the center of your own universe, and whatever's happening is all your perception. So if there wasn't a button there already to push, then you wouldn't care. You wouldn't feel anything whether you agreed with this person or not, you know, it'd be whatever. So that's great. I mean, I think to see that's where we can deal with our stresses as well, is seeing that, okay, you know, why does this make me feel bad? And really, you can put that Nazi tomato thrower to work, because you can say, okay, well, why does this bother me? And you can give a bunch of bullshit reasons to yourself, you know, because you're trying to sound better to yourself. And then the Nazi guy can go, all right, yeah, okay, but what really is it? Just have them keep asking that. And then you can really get down to what, you know, it's really this, because you will answer. You will answer yourself. It's so interesting the play that you can play with the different sides of your mind, you know, and have them work for you. You know, that because you know that guy that throws tomatoes, he's going to look for anything that's wrong. So if he doesn't find it, it's not there. It's not there. It's some sort of nebulous fear idea, and it's nothing. Let it go, you know?
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Jeez.
So the conversation in the mind, and then and having it and deciding where you stand in the room, like you said, which side of the room am I on? Am I going to be positive about this, and can I find ways that I'm learning and that something that makes me feel good, that I can say, okay, but this is a challenge right here, and I can do this like this, and turn your feeling around instantly into, okay, I'm less stressed. You can talk yourself through it, really get down to it, see the size of it, which is always smaller than you think it is, and then put something into action. And the action can be, well, I feel better right now, and I'm going to ride this feeling better, and that's it. You don't have to know what to do about this thing or whatever, but right now I got myself to a better feeling place, and I'm just going to feel better about it. And then see when it starts to talk again in your head, see if it isn't coming with a different vibration, if you don't have a different perspective. And after a time, you may not. It may start the broken record again, but at least you know how you got yourself feeling better at any point. And then you can apply that to more work, the same thing. You know, you already did it once, so you can do it again. And then the body, because the body feels better once you can just find some sort. You can always flip it around. Every negative has a positive. There's nothing that's negative that's happening that you can't find a positive for. And if you can't find the positive, really, then you can say, all right, well, there must be a reason for this. And there's nothing I can do about it, and just let it go as best as you can. That letting it go, we all know what it means to put something down. So think of this thing and think about putting it down, even if it just alleviates it for a second. Now you know how to do that. So, and let the body talk to you. I think that's very important. You know, acknowledge what the body is telling you. Sometimes you can be more stressed out because really you just need to take a nap. And maybe you can't take a nap right at this second, but no, you know what? I'm just kind of tired right now. And all of this talk, it's just my tired body on the broken record. So yeah. You know, and that can be like a nice remedy just for the second. Like, listen, I am too tired to even think about stressing about this right now. Like, enough already, guy. Enough. Blah, 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 but I ain't going to listen, you know?
Yeah.
Well, acknowledging.
I was going to note too that we're going through a period of transition on a planetary scale right now. There is no place you can turn really, that there isn't great challenge to be positive and to say that that can be healed. We face really, really dark times. It's just truth. If you take a look and you become aware of all the many things that are going on, it's basically the challenge is, and it's a good one, is to find the beauty, find all of the positive things about the moment and the time and what we have as opportunities and possibilities before us as a species, because that's the only way I can see personally to stretch past the fear and the stress. And it's enormous. There has never been, well, as far as we know, there has never been a pressure on a whole species of whole, and I'm not talking just about humanity. You think of all of the species of animals that die per day.
Yeah, earth species, all of them, everything.
The earth is vibrating to stress right now. There's huge stress out there. So it is a part of our lives in a very real way, whereas, you know, a few hundred years ago it was not. And it's become like that since industrialization. And even though there's always been the very few that ruled over the very many, now it's become incredible because of all of the wonderful tools we actually do have to make this a fucking utopia. This planet is a recreational planet. I mean, and it should be a paradise with all of the wonderful mastery we've commanded over technology and what it can do for us. But we have all of those, you know, all of our flaws are coming up, our greed, our need for more, our development of aggression against us, and it's against ourselves, you know, in the whole of it. Mm-hmm. And this time right now is just, it's, anybody here chose to be here for this ride, so it's about really, and you know, tomorrow is a blue moon again.
Wow.
We've had more blue moons. It's the second full moon in Aquarius this summer.
Wow.
And it's spreading the humanitarian vibe and waking us up to our individuality. This full moon, and I'm reading now from Danielle Blackwood, the astrologer. It can be a wild card, offering surprising new insight and shaking up the status quo. We could feel edgy, restless, rebellious. Jupiter, remember, is squaring Uranus, bringing even more high-octane Aquarian demand for change into the picture. Whatever we feel is holding us back or standing in our way will be impossible to put up with for one more minute. This is your full moon. If you've been biding your time in a frustrating, draining, or abusive situation, you can also channel this energy to realize a creative breakthrough, a blast through writer's block, or unstop a brilliant new business strategy. So it's about choice. It's about choice.
Wow, isn't that amazing? It's the same thing as choosing what side of the room you're on. It's, okay, well, but see, this time, all of these planets are helping us. There's so much help. And we are here. We did come here during this time of great limitation as masters. This is not kindergarten class. We feel like it because there's so much limitation.
It's not.
You have to be here right now. This is you know the fully packed stadium. I mean, everybody's watching now, and everyone wants to see how we can come from such darkness into such light. That's masters do that, and so it's us always remembering who we are, who we truly are, what is our large story, and why are we here right now. Well, we never get anything that's too much for us to handle, whether we think so or not. It doesn't work. I mean, the human race wouldn't be here if many more of us would die off, let's face it. So it's always something we can handle. And this is our stage now. And to acknowledge that that's probably the spirit part of the stress is that the planet is going through major changes. The solar system is going through major changes. Everybody's heating up and vibrating faster and fixing axles. And we see the climate change difference, and we feel it. And sometimes we may be feeling these things, and they're going to press on things that are already there because our mind wants to make sense of this feeling. So we attach it to things that we know are stressful. So we go, okay, well, I guess that's stressing me. Well, yeah, if it wasn't, again, a button to be pushed, it wouldn't be pushed, but it may not be as large as what you're feeling. A lot of us are very intuitive, and we may or may not realize that, and we may or may not realize how to what extent. Sometimes it's the people around you. It's not so much you that's stressing, you know. Sometimes it's the planet and the energies that are coming through that we can't see. And it's making you feel exhausted, frustrated, antsy, whatever. So having that also be an option, because sometimes you can ask yourself all kinds of questions and you may never get to that thing that's really pushing your button. And then you have to look elsewhere. You go, okay, well, is it, you know, people around me? Is the energy around me weird? And if that's not what it is, then you have to think, okay, well, it's probably the planet. And then you can talk to people around you and see if they don't have the exact same story with different details that you have. Then you know. You're like, okay, this is a thing that's happening. I don't get it, but there it is. And so then you can also relieve the stress that way and know that you're a vessel. It's all about transmuting your own feelings, your own vibrations, the vibrations of people around you and the planet. It's a lot. And it's so much right now because with all this change, people are also going through so many changes. They're making big moves, even if they haven't moved yet. In their head, you know, big moves. I need to make big moves.
That's true.
So, and that can also be why if it's other people around you that are stressing you, realize, you know, they've got their own story going on. You probably have, even if you know them very well, you probably know one iota of the inner dialogue or triathlon that's happening in their head on a daily basis, you know? Like, think of your own head and think if something's going on like that, and you'll probably go, oh, okay, yeah, that's probably a lot.
I have to agree with you there.
Wow. So we just have a few more minutes, and maybe we can go maybe a little bit longer. Will let me do that if we take like an extra 10 minutes in the archives? Because I want to hear a little more. I want to hear about your oils and essences and misters, because, you know, they're a staple of mine.
You know, really, basically, I think that people should be aware that there are alternative remedies that they can be working with. Natural stuff that it's really fun to work with, like essential oils. Folks generally know, and I'm not going to do a big commercial for daughters here. I'm going to talk about things that people can find, you know, anywhere. Of course, you can find on daughtersofisis.com a whole lot of great stuff to work through. In fact, our animal medicine meditations are really starting to flesh out, and I'm very proud of that collection. And that employs essential oils plus a flower essence to come to a shape-shifting meditation. It's a whole experience, and I'm writing them up right now. So there's my commercial. Anyways.
Yeah, no, I just want to say for the people, like, again, I always tell the truth, and you just happen to be also my friend and radio co-host, but your products have really aided me in all of my development, and now it's such a fun tool to ride on, because with these different smells, you go into, you know that vibration instantly. Like, it's just an instant click on in your brain, because that's how your nose is wired. It remembers better than anything else. So that's why, really. It just works, and you're awesome at it, and that's it. So there's your commercial for me, but it's not a commercial. It's just the truth. So tell us.
Thank you so much. As an aromacologist and an aromatherapist, I am certified in Britain. I would guide people to begin working with scents by picking up some. Now, it's very expensive, but one of the best stress-reducing scents is True Rose. You can buy a little bottle of it with a few drops in it, in jojoba or rosehip seed oil dispersed. And it's really worth it, because if you're stressed a lot, just working with a real rose or rose attar, which is less expensive, but it's the real thing, just really, you know, blend it down with carrier oils. The scent of it is, first of all, it comes in waves, and it calms you in each wave. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a calming down process. Each wave of the rose bouquet opening for you will really, and it's a soft remedy. It's a very soft remedy, the queen of scent. And, of course, lavender is a wonderful calmer. And if you like wood better, Peru balsams are wonderful stress-reducing scents. If you come at it from a different point of view, as releasing stress, you can work with citrus oils, citrus scents, lime, is just absolutely extraordinarily great for releasing stressful and anxiety and tension feelings. And then, of course, working with the flower essences, there are so many of them out there on the market that work with specific flowers. And the wild rose is a wonderful flower essence. So is peony and wisteria. But there are even better, and that's the formula ones from I Will Go With The Bach Flower Remedy, which is the rescue remedy. And it works. That, you know, these are on the shelves of hospitals all through Western Europe. So it's, these remedies are available to people, and it's a better route to take than the Xanax. It isn't as immediate as the scent is. It's immediate. It's like taking a poke off a pipe, you know? It really is very right there in your face, works right away. Instead of turning to pharmaceuticals, you know, you've got these wonderful, wonderful tools from nature to work with. And all you have to do is get online and Google it. And you'll come up with all these wonderful references that you can explore and find for different stuff. And I would say, too, that, you know, I'm a blender, I'm an aromacologist and an aromatherapist and a flower essence practitioner and maker. And I'm available. You can find the phone number on daughtersofisis.com if you're interested in learning more or need guidance. I'm available. This is my job, so feel free to call me. My name is Gwen. I'm the blender over there.
Awesome. Yeah, two of my favorite ones of yours that I'm working with most often right now are the Sweetgrass Mister, which, for those who don't know, sweetgrass really, it is sweetgrass. It has this very sweet, very calming, and it's to call the positive
good
spirit.
Yeah. Our rescue remedy is based in the sweetgrass.
Yeah, wow, that makes sense. And the other one that's helpful, especially when you're talking about pharmaceuticals, you know, if you need a pick-me-up, is the Artemis Mister. That's one of my favorites because, to me, it just immediately focuses me, just like the archer, you know, on horseback. It sort of gets me, okay, yeah. Where am I? I don't know what it is that's in there that makes me feel that way. Maybe you can shed some light. It's very helpful.
Well, that just goes to show you, because Artemis is rose and mugwort. That's the blend of Artemis. It has a little jasmine in it, too. So it's a floral with sage. And it works really well for it. It would be a really wonderful evener, balancer. Of course, the mist itself is meant to open your awareness to goddess energy, especially the mother and huntress energy.
Yeah, to me, it's to get things done. No. Even if it's get your ass to the store and get your thing, you know, it's all right, come on, let's go. And okay, whoop, and then we're going.
Very cool.
Helpful. Yeah, and also, if it's something that helps me most recently, I haven't used it right in these past few months, but the trust oil is also really helpful, especially if you're just feeling fear. Like, you're just like, what is going on? That trust oil definitely has this nice, like you find the ground with it, and it's the beach, and it's a sunny day, and then there's water, and you go, okay, it's fine. I may still not know what's going on, but somehow I feel like it's going to be fine. That's what the trust oil is. For me, what's in that?
I can't remember at the moment, and I'm sitting completely in the dark except for my computer screen, so it will be hard to find.
Sorry. People can look it up.
It's right there on the. Well, that was stupid of me. It's on the website, isn't it? It's basically all of the recovery oils are gentle coaxers, really. They're made for helping people work their 12-step program. But a lot of folks really enjoy, there's trust, there's hope, there's sharing. there's prayer. All of these scents have been created with the assistance of people who've been through recovery for a combined like 80 years. But these scents appeal to everyone because they basically exude what, you know, hope and trust and surrender is another one. And they're very good at working at any kind of fear or stress.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, I think that's great. I think that's a really good start. A lot of these topics that I pick obviously can have a part two and beyond. So, but I think that's some good stuff there for people to work with stress and realize that things are a little odd right now, if not a lot odd. I realize sometimes I say a little when I mean massive.
Well, you know, with it being a lot odd and so many things happening at once, it's also a time for folks to remember that we are meant to be community. And community is important. Reaching out to one another is part of our remedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why we're doing this show. So if you would like to reach out to me, you can find me at nicole.tomasini, that's T-O-M-A-S-S-I-N-I, at gmail.com, or on Facebook at Nicole Tomasini. And, ask me a question, or we can do a private session, or whatever it is. It's all about community and I've thought about this stuff a lot, and so I would love to help. So thank you, Glenn, for wonderful information.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And just for those folks who might be interested in what's in your trust oil, it is a blend of jasmine, foam coupe, which is hay, and blue basil with Bulgarian lavender.
Oh. Wow, that's awesome. Well,
it's very trusting.
Yeah, just beautiful words to go with the scent. That's really awesome. Nice. All right, so thank you very much, everyone. And I'm going to play us out with an I Am That I Am, Peter Tosh. Peace and love, spirit.
Good night.
Night.
Up to your expectations, neither are you here to live up to mine. Yeah, I don't owe no one, no obligation, no one owe me none, so everything is fine. I said, I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. I am, that I am, I am, I am. Don't underestimate my ability. Don't definitely my character. Don't belittle my authority. It's time you recognize my quality. I said, I am that I am, I am, I am. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am.
your brother. Don't commit your neighbor. See from the city, it's getting shitty. It is full of antiquity. I said, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am.
Come with me.